Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 258 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week out with something a little bit different. We've had a few different news stories going out in the last week or so, so we thought we'd recap them. We've got a couple of maybe slightly dramatised, maybe slightly sceptical bits as well to go through. But first of all, Jamie, how are we doing on this beautiful Friday morning?
I'm doing well, thank you, yes. Ready to talk about Formula One.
That's good, that's the job.
I've got my own race this weekend, actually. That's just come to my head.
Have you?
So, that'll be fun.
What are you
not
doing?
Driving. Oh. I'm actually running a 10K race around Chatsworth House, which if you're in the north, you'll know what that is.
But I'm not, so I don't. Is it a big house? It must be a big house if it's 10 kilometres to get around it.
Yeah.
It must be a massive house.
Have you ever seen Pride and Prejudice?
No, I'm not 70. Why do you think I would watch Pride and Prejudice?
I bet there's a crossover between our viewers and people who've watched Pride and Prejudice.
There probably is, actually. It's quite staggering.
It's the house where Mr. Darcy lives. That's where
who?
It was filmed, at Chatsworth House. You are so uncultured. That's a ridiculous... You don't know Mr. Darcy?
No.
Come on.
Jamie, how much TV do you think I watch?
It's a film.
Is it? Well, there you go. Then how many movies do you think I've watched in the last 12
like,
months?
Probably two. F1 movie was one of them.
No, I haven't even watched that yet. That's brilliant. How few okay. F1 movies I watch. I haven't even watched one that I probably should off for work. Shocking. Yeah. That would have been a business expense if I'd gone to the cinema.
Yeah, you could have expensed it.
I should have. Yeah, there you go. We'll get that on the Christmas party at the end of the year. I'll go watch the F1 movie. Anyway, Jamie, we've got a few bits to talk about today. I don't know how kind of what order you want to do these. We've basically got 5 points down that we want to discuss because there's kind of 5 storylines going around in the Formula One world as a bit of a news recap. I think we'll start with the easy one, the feel-good story of the week. Romain Grosjean is actually going to drive a Formula One car.
He is. Way back when, after obviously his big crash in Bahrain.
Before we were even doing this podcast. That's how old.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years ago. I remember that live super starkly because I thought he was dead.
I think a lot of people thought he was dead.
Yeah. And he's gonna drive the Haas. I don't know which Haas it is, but he was promised the Mercedes drive, wasn't he, for at some point in 21, I wanna say.
Yeah.
And it never happened. I think they were too focused on trying to win the championship and failed. So
they won the constructors. Mercedes won the championship. Mercedes could win.
Well, they could have won the drivers if Hamilton drove better. But Grosjean never got that drive with Mercedes and instead has never really driven an F1 car since at all.
But he's never driven a Formula One car since.
His last experience was flying into the barriers at about 120 miles an hour. And cutting in half. And now
he didn't cut in half, the car did, just to specify.
No, thankfully he didn't cut in half, although on first viewing it looked like he might have done. Yeah, crazy. And that was, it's going to be quite cool, because I don't know if anyone else has seen it. There's a reel in a Twitter video going around of him showing you the helmet that he had designed for what should have been his final race in Abu Dhabi 2020. Which ended up Pietro Fittipaldi drove instead because he was injured. But it's got loads of little drawings from his kids, and that's really cute. And his kids now, I think they were like something like 5 and 3 at the time. And obviously, kids grow up fast. So 5 years on, and they're like 10 and 8 or something. They would draw very different drawings now, I'm sure, on his helmet. But yeah, it's quite a cool little thing.
I mean, I thought you talking about Pride and Prejudice was going to be the oldest man thing you said this morning. And then you just went, kids grow up fast these days.
5 years is a long time when that's your whole lifetime.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not going to argue against that. No, it is, it's going to, I mean, I don't know kind of what they're going to do with it, whether it's going to be a big event or anything like that, or whether it's just going to be kind of behind closed doors and we get a couple of Instagram stories about it and that kind of thing. But it's one of those things, isn't it, of course, almost old school in the sense of, when you never really thought about it beforehand, but of course, a lot of Formula One drivers' last memories, especially obviously, you know, in like the 60s, the 70s, even into the 80s, or even the 90s necessarily, your last memory of driving a Formula One car for quite a lot of people was going to be a horrific crash. So obviously for Grosjean to be able to hopefully now get something that, I mean, I don't know if it's, I'm sure something like that will probably always replay on your mind from time to time. But to hopefully, but to hopefully now be able to have something that you can think, well, actually, I did do that a few years after. Plus, he's going to Mugello, which is a really, I must admit, that not a particularly great Formula One racetrack, at least in the one time we went there, but must be a right laugh to go around in a Formula One.
Well, Max Verstappen said it was his favourite track to drive.
Yeah, yeah. It is a beautiful circuit. Yeah, beautiful circuit.
Yeah. Where does Grosjean rank for best driver to never win a Grand Prix?
He's such a difficult one to kind of call, isn't he? Because he was so hilariously crash-prone and not that great throughout a lot of his F1 career.
But he was always quite likeable and quite fast.
He was fairly likeable, wasn't he? I think as he got older, he got a bit better. I think in his earlier years, people weren't a big fan of him. But I think, again, it's that whole thing, isn't it? You go back and watch that end of 2013 season when Seb was dominating and obviously won nine races in a row. Grosjean, more often than not, was his closest competitor and could, if not, should have won Suzuka, if I remember correctly.
Well, the Red Bull was stupidly on rails. I don't think anyone... Like, the fact he got quite
close
to
Suzuka. He led a few laps, though,
Suzuka,
didn't he? Yeah.
He led about half the race, yeah. He could have... Like, but I'm not saying he should have won because the Red Bull was... Like, I think it was enough for Lotus to have led half the race.
Right, yeah.
In terms of that's already well above expectations when you're going up against prime Seb, prime Newey Red Bull at Suzuka. Like,
and Pirelli tyres completely designed for that one car and that one car only, let's not forget.
Yeah. I can name five drivers that are better than him that haven't won a race, so that was a bit of a bait question. But
fair enough, I'm sure I could as well if I really thought about it. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be a bit of a feel-good story, isn't it? Obviously, when I think, is that next month that's happening, I want to say?
Yeah, it's before the winter shutdown.
Yeah, so that'll be a feel-good story for Romain Grosjean, and nice to hopefully get a bit of redemption for him. What else have we got, Jamie? We got, apparently, obviously, I mean, we briefly touched on this, I believe, after Baku as well, or before Baku during the preview show. It does very much look like now it is a three-horse race for those, well, it's not technically two V-carb seats, is it? It's a V-carb seat and a Red Bull seat, but we don't really quite know how it's all working out. Although we think now it might be both V-carb seats because Hadjar apparently does know where he's going.
Well, yeah, the 3-2 is both for V-carb because... certainly in my mind, it's Verstappen, Hadjar locked in at Red Bull.
Yeah. Will they put Hadjar in early, like at the end of this year, potentially?
No.
Because they've talked about potentially sorting out before Mexico, so he's got a bit of time to embed with the team before the
winter. I think
they're
deciding before Mexico. Like, they always seem to announce something around the Mexican Grand Prix. I thought it was because of Sergio Perez, but
they want to steal the limelight from Checo. That's what they want
to
do.
They're used to it now. Yeah, I think it'll be between... obviously Sonoda, Lawson and Arvid Lindblad into that V-carb. And to be honest, up until Baku, I think Lindblad was nailed on for the V-carb seat. But now, well, I know it's only one race, but Sonoda kind of turned up. Lawson's been doing better since about Austria. And obviously both of them had their strongest races of the season, Sonoda and Lawson, in Baku. So if they can... You know, between now and Mexico, keep on putting in those kind of performances, you know, scoring points on a regular basis. I wonder if Lindblad is the one to be benched for 26.
I mean, Lindblad, I think obviously because it kind of all got talked about, didn't it? I think it was around Barcelona when he won.
Well, he won the feature.
I think he won the feature, didn't he? Yeah, and then of course, obviously heading towards Silverstone, you know, Red Bull had put in to try and get a special dispensation for his super license, and then kind of since then, I mean. Lindblad's kind of really capitulated in F2 this year since then. He hasn't really had any huge... Like, I'm trying to have a look back through. So.
Well, he's had no more feature wins. He might have had a sprint win.
He didn't score any
points
in Austria. He scored 5 points in Silverstone, nothing in Spa, 8 points at Budapest, and then came second in the sprint at Monza. And then because the F2 website's horrendous, you can't even see Baku. Because that's a good website design, isn't it? How ridiculous is that? Can't even see.
He had an absolute shocker at the Monza feature race. He took out like three people.
He did have a stinker there as well, yeah.
So yeah, Lindblad's only 18. Obviously, he could do another year in F2. I think when they applied for the dispensation, it was more as a failsafe, you know, in case they desperately need to drop Sonoda or something, or one of them gets injured, for instance. They needed...
He was going to be the next driver in that car if something happened as such.
Exactly. But now he's 18 anyway, they don't need a special dispensation.
He just needs the super license points.
Yeah. Which I think he would get if he finishes like top 8 in F2, which he
I believe. And I'm sure if he ended up like 2 points out, then the FIA would just give it to him anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. If I was Red Bull, before Baku, I think Tsunoda was out and it was going to be Lawson and Lindblad in the V-Cub next year. But I think Tsunoda could save his seat if he keeps on doing Baku-like performances. I know he wasn't fantastic at Baku. You know, he lost to Lawson in a V-Cub. He was a second off Max in quali, although that was a very unique qualifying session.
Exactly, yeah.
But the thing is, he had Lando Norris behind him and didn't overtake Lawson deliberately for the team, which I thought was very quick thinking and showing a switched-on mind to be like, if I go for Emil Lawson and mess it up, Norris is going to get 4 more points.
Do you honestly think that's what he was doing, or was it just the fact there was never an opportunity to get through?
That's what he claims he was doing.
Oh, well, I'm sure that just works out, doesn't it, wonderfully. Yeah, no, I didn't overtake because I was worried about the guy behind it, another team potentially gaining some points as well.
It was on points in the championship more then, because obviously Max now is championship contender again.
No, easy though, easy.
Hey, if he wins Singapore, I'm fully on the train.
If he wins Singapore, then yeah, I think we can start to get more clickbait into the titles of the videos. I mean, this is the thing though, and again, it's so hilariously Alpine, isn't it? Because of course this kind of ties in, like, it doesn't on paper tie in with Alpine, but it still should. Obviously, Flavio Briatore has basically said it's between Colapinto and Paul Aaron down at Alpine, when you would easily make the argument that Lawson or Tsunoda, whoever gets dropped from the Red Bull family, would probably be a better choice than either of them.
Yeah, 100%. And
I still think if Tsunoda did well in the final few rounds, Gasly could try and convince him to bring him in.
Briatore says things all the time, and you know, I don't believe much of what he says, to be honest. So the fact that he's come out and said it's between Colapinto and Paul Aaron, it doesn't mean much to me. I think if it comes to it, to be honest, Colapinto's not been doing that badly in the last few races, but if it comes to it and they really want to replace...
Baku.
Yeah, but half the grid did, to be honest. So I think if it comes to it, they will just sign up whichever Red Bull is discarded. Because, yeah, he was basically saying, none of the F2 grid blow me away. None of the drivers that are available blow me away.
Just bring Leo in.
So, like, they're saying, let's get Paul Aaron, but he didn't exactly blow anyone out of the water last year either in F2.
He did well in F2, and he was going to win until he got mecha-chromed towards the end. He got mecha-chromed about 3 times towards the end of the season when he had a decent lead.
And I guess, you know, Hajar and Bortoleto, who finished 1 and 2 with Aaron third, are both the best 2 rookies on the grid this year. So maybe Paul Aaron does deserve a shot. I do think he's all right. I liked him in F2. And surprisingly, that's probably why his engine blew up 4 times.
Exactly, yeah, as soon as Jamie started supporting him.
Yeah, I don't know. If I was Flavio Briatore, which I am very thankful that I'm not...
He gets more women than you do.
Great, that's what life's about. I think I would probably go for whichever Red Bull gets discarded. And then Colapinto.
Yeah. The thing is as well that's so bizarre is obviously clearly this Alpine experiment this year hasn't worked. They're not going to finish above 10th now in the championship, are they? Like, unless they get another Brazil last year, and even then Colapinto would stack it. Why don't they just put Paul Aaron in for the final few races?
I guess because if he's then worse than Colapinto, you want to bring Colapinto back.
Yeah, but then if he's worse than Colapinto, you just bring in whichever Red Bull driver gets rejected.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you, as they say.
Very, very diplomatic as always, Jamie 183. Jamie, I've got some scary news.
Okay.
A villain is potentially making his return to the paddock in the not too distant future.
Oh no.
Christian Horner has officially been released from Red Bull. He is no longer a team member of the Red Bull family on, what was it, something ridiculous, like about £80 million apparently they've given him. to get him to leave. It was $50 million up front with add-ons coming. Yeah.
It was $100 million, which is about £75-80 million.
Insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Insane amount of money.
HMRC are going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably. Oh, I'm sure he's got an offshore account in the Cayman Islands or something. Everything gets paid into. But it does potentially lead, doesn't it, to. Because there's been rumblings and rumours, hasn't there? The Bernie Eccleston, which. He's still alive. I don't know how. But Bernie Eccleston, I assume actually with Bernie, it's because he's so small physically that obviously it doesn't take like his body to push as much around.
LeBron's got less far to go, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So Bernie Eccleston, Flavio Briatore, and Christian Horner apparently are going to look to buy Alpine from Alpine.
Wow, that's like a trifecta of F1 villains, isn't it?
I mean, the amount of corruption that will go on within that team would be insane. Who was it? Which was it Queen's Park Rangers that Briatore and Eccleston bought into back in like the early 2010s?
It was Tony Fernandez was the team owner for a bit. Who used
but that
way
he
Lotus.
Bought it off of them, which I'm pretty certain was in part to try and get his Formula One team.
Maybe. I remember there was a QPR logo on the side of the Caterham, which was really weird. At the same time, there was a Chelsea logo on the side of the Sauber. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was a bizarre time. But I'm pretty certain, Briatore and Eccleston bought QPR, wasn't it? And then QPR had like a huge budget. And then still got relegated or something hilarious. Yeah. And like Briatore would try and do the team meetings and stuff, despite the fact he knew nothing about football.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't have gone much worse than whatever QPR were doing in 2012.
No, but exactly. So, I mean, my point, there was more about random ramble about the championship. Was actually obviously about the fact this, isn't the first time that Eccleston and Briatore got into business together. Let's not forget in 2012, Briatore was still banned from Formula One, which is even more hilarious that Eccleston was still happy to get into bed with him again.
When Eccleston was running Formula One at the time.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, hilarious. But Briatore and Horner, yeah, if they end up running a team, I don't know which drivers would go there. It would be like the super villain.
Well, Gasly's got a long-term contract.
Who was the American who kept crashing into his teammate in F2?
Oh, Ferrucci? Santino Ferrucci, yeah.
Bring him back. Bring him back to drive for Briatore's F1
team. It'll be Santino Ferrucci and Mazepin or something like that would get the call up.
Mazepin representing the, what is it, independent? Because he can't obviously represent Russia anymore.
It's the RAF, isn't it? Like the Russian Automobile Federation or something, yeah. Bizarre. Yeah, I imagine. Can you imagine the livery on that car? It would just be an eagle on one side and the Russian flag on the other or something. Disastrous.
Like the 99... BAR with a zip down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be
but we digress. Stinker. Christian Horner is now out of Red Bull. I think Lauren Mekies is doing quite a good job, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, he's already had effectively better results than Horner managed.
He's probably
had
not
as many wins.
Team members.
He scored, the second driver at Red Bull has already scored more points since Mekies took over than when Horner was there. Because again, as we found out at Spa, wasn't it? Horner had been keeping all the extra parts just for Verstappen's car. So Tsunoda was on like a really old version.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as soon as Spa came around, Tsunoda was suddenly slightly better.
I mean, he qualified well at Spa. He actually got unlucky in the race. He was going to do a lot better than he was. Because the team messed him up.
Yeah. I don't know what Horner's going to do with 50-odd million. Based on Drive to Survive, his house is already lovely. So maybe just
is that also in... What's it you said? Pride and Prejudice?
Pride and Prejudice. It could be. I don't think it is, but it definitely looks like it could be.
Fair enough. I mean, 50 million. That's... I mean, here at the podcast, Jamie and I will make our claim now. Flavio Briatore, Christian Horner, Bernie Eccleston, if you're listening. If you want to float a couple of million our way, we will get the studio set up. We will put up some propaganda for you all.
Brilliant.
That I'm sure you'd like.
Sponsored by Alpine.
All I'm saying is that we can be bought for that kind of money.
Oh, absolutely. I'll do it a fair amount, less than a million.
Fair enough. Jamie has lower standards.
How
easy are you? That's like a month's wage you're willing to be bought out for.
You know what? If we get a studio, I'm there. Studio in Manchester.
If we get a studio, you're there. I'd hope so. Otherwise, that's the point of the studio.
Yeah, you can sit in the studio. I'll record it from home.
You're just still at home.
There we go.
There you go, ladies and gents. You've now learnt Jamie is easy if you want to try and bribe him at some point.
There we go. I'll take a bribe.
Jamie, work
if you're listening. That was a joke. I do work in finance.
Oh, I can't believe you tried to claim you're a finance man. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Jamie, we've got one more kind of piece of solid concrete news before we get into some speculation. The cost cap has been increased, which is actually fascinating because it's gone from $135 to $215 million, which sounds huge, but actually made you realise, because they've obviously kind of explained where a lot of this money's coming from or why this budget has gone the way it has, actually kind of explains to you how little was under the cost cap in the first place. Have you read anything about this? Because it is genuinely fascinating to someone that's quite... It should be fascinating to you if you're in finance.
I haven't had time. I will at some point read an article or watch a video on it, but no, I haven't had time yet. So apologies, Matt's going to lead this bit.
I'm going to lead this part, yeah, so be prepared for some Matt 2 and 2 rambling. Basically, so obviously, like I said, it's gone from 135 million to 215 million. An increase of 80 million. Is. Yeah, exactly. Is it $80 million? Do they do it in dollars? I think they do it in dollars, don't they?
I think they do it in dollars.
Is it dollars? Let me just double check before I start saying dollars 64 times. I can't remember. It might be dollars. It might be... No, it is $135 million. I thought so. So currently, yes, $135 million. It's going up to $215. So an $80 million increase. But you might be going, well, that basically just means all the smaller teams now are going to not be able to do anything again. I think there's an element of they're trying to help the bigger teams again just a little bit. Because I'm sure there's been some toys thrown out of the pram in recent times.
Over in Maranello, probably.
I'm over in Maranello. What I think is absolutely fascinating about this, though, is, first of all, that now means that all 24 races are covered in the budget cap. So, I don't know whether you knew this, Jamie, but up to the end of this season, I believe it would be, they'd run, obviously, the budget cap up to Brazil, and then Las Vegas, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi all didn't fall under the budget cap. They were given extra money for that.
To kind of run the operation for those three races.
The budget cap only covered the first 21 races of the season. It also then now covers all of the sprints. None of those were covered under the budget cap. You were given
extra, Hamilton won in China.
You were given extra operating cost for all of the sprint races.
There's a conspiracy right there.
Well, all sprint races should be null and void.
Yeah, 100%. Take Hamilton's one fake win away.
Well, surely you could then also argue that the last three races over the last couple of years should also be null and void.
Well, exactly. Max would have won 21 even easier.
No, 21 was fine, because that was only 21 races, I think. Is it 21?
Well,
I think it was 21. Or was
one
it 20?
Of them was cancer, wasn't it?
I think
Russia
ended
happened.
Up being 21 still.
Who knows?
So, yeah, obviously, all of your sprint races are now part of that budget cap. It now actually covers 24 races as well, before that inevitably, I'm sure, goes up even higher in the not-too-distant future. I believe there was also, in terms of now, and I'm pretty certain this was genuinely mentioned in the article, that catering is now fully covered inside the budget cap. You can't now do anything with that. So there was clearly,
in the mud.
Exactly, there was clearly an exploit there with it as well. But it is just kind of fascinating, isn't it? If kind of this budget cap came in. Oh, sorry, that was what I was going to say as well. Inflation, of course, has been factored in. Because, of course, you know, as we all know.
Surely it was before.
Nope. It did not go
That's
up with inflation.
A bit dumb.
It did not counter inflation. And the really, really fascinating one, which I remember we spoke about on the podcast before, which is one of those things that makes you go, oh, yeah, I'd never considered that. I know we've talked about it previously. Sauber. Uniquely ran into a real problem with this, with the budget cap. Can you think why?
Something to do with Switzerland.
Something to do with Switzerland.
Maybe like the currencies.
Swiss
franc is the
so
thing.
So the it was actually sorry I was going to say the Swiss minimum wage and average salary.
Oh yeah.
You obviously in Switzerland because their wages are so high.
Their minimum wage in I've got a lot of places. Friends in Switzerland and 25 an hour minimum wage,
which is the equivalent
francs,
of about £20.
No, it's more
over.
Than that. It's about 26. Their currency
no,
is very
not.
Strong.
No, it's about the same as the euro. CHF to GBP is not where you think it is, sir. It's closer than I thought, actually. Yeah. 23. Like, it's up since I last looked.
Yeah, I go to Switzerland like at least once or twice a year.
It's not 26 quid though. It hasn't gone below yet, luckily. So obviously, yeah, for this, obviously for Sauber, it basically meant they were able to pay out a load more than
on
obviously
wages,
a lot of other teams.
Because your top three salaries in the team are external
and drivers, yeah.
But everything else is internal. So you know, your majority staff have to be included in the wage cap, in the budget cap.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we've already heard about this as well, haven't we? That Ferrari now are planning on trying to set up a small base in England, because obviously they can't seem to get the staff that they need as well, because no one wants to relocate to Italy. Which, given the chance, I would, truth be told.
Well, so is Sauber. Jonathan Wheatley was saying they're opening up some sort of facility when they become Audi.
But they've also in Germany as well, so they'll be helped out there.
In Motorsport Valley as well.
Yeah, they're basically obviously now trying to figure out a way in which the salaries now are equal across the board, because obviously some countries you legally have to pay more. I remember I knew a guy that lived right near the border between France and Switzerland. So he would work in a Swiss McDonald's, obviously then get paid at like that, I think it was like 30 francs an hour. Otherwise you get 15 euros an hour if you worked in France. Absolutely insane.
Yeah. No, I've got a friend in a similar situation.
Wild. Absolutely wild. So it's all those kind of little things that obviously you can't really think about with the budget cap until the budget cap comes in. But just those little bits and pieces that all add up.
If you're Red Bull Racing's finance team, this new rule will make no difference at all, because you just flaunt it anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. You just put it all still on catering, apparently. And
yeah. Get some caviar in for Las Vegas.
Exactly. Exactly. I will say though, Jamie, their mini fillet steaks at 2022 Silverstone were incredible. So
brilliant.
They can spend the money.
So actually,
like,
the 22 cost cap violation was your fault.
It might have
hearing.
Been me eating quite a few mini steaks. Yes. I might have helped contribute. I don't think, what was it, about 300 grand though, wasn't it?
Well, by the sounds of it, your mini steaks could have been getting on for that.
Yeah, and I think there was also one other bit as well, because there was basically a thing that in UK tax law meant that all of the British teams had to pay for that the European teams didn't, because it came under like their version of R&D research as a capital loss or something. So it's a load of really, really interesting stuff. In kind of the
way
it works.
Sounds interesting. Bring that up at your next dinner party. Everyone will just look away from you.
Well, you watch Pride and Prejudice, so I think you have more dinner parties than I do. But all still important information, I guess, with Jamie183 right there. But exactly. It's just all those little things, isn't it, that really kind of add up and are so kind of interesting that I think only really on our Formula One podcast you get to listen to.
Exactly. And if you're still here, well done.
Exactly.
You've got through finance chat for the week.
Oh, I think we have to put a warning at the start of every podcast now, going, you can't operate heavy machinery whilst listening to No One Wheel. Otherwise, you might fall asleep. But, Jamie, we've like to differentiate ourselves from other Formula One podcasts. Now, we're going to go down the route of other Formula One podcasts quickly. We're going to bring some speculation.
Get your tinfoil hats out.
We're going to get your tinfoil hats out. We're going to bring some controversy. Jamie briefly mentioned it on last week's show. As a final little roundup, Mercedes this year, I'm normally quite a big fan of Toto Wolff. They've had decent on-track performance. Baku was certainly a high point this season. Off-track, though, they have had an absolute stinker, haven't they? Or Toto Wolff has had an absolute stinker. Because currently, it seems like he's got two drivers at that team that aren't contracted, but will likely be staying, that aren't happy with him and aren't happy with each other.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And, well, firstly, I'll start with the fact neither of them have got a new contract yet. The worst thing you can do in negotiation is reveal your hand, effectively. And, you know, so Toto Wolff has gone, we want to keep them both. At that point, both Antonelli and Russell's agents will just be rubbing their hands together, because you know you've got Wolff backed into a corner. And you can basically be like, well, give me a 20% pay rise then. And there's no way he can then back down and say, like, he now no longer has the threat of, we'll go and sign someone else, because they're not going to go and sign someone else. So, firstly, from a business point of view, that was a terrible move. But anyway, and it's, you know, it's the end of September and they still haven't signed either driver for next year yet. I still maintain that I think promoting Antonelli straight into Mercedes was a bit early, which, to be honest, I was saying in the winter. last year.
Yeah, but that's just because you were an Antonelli hater. And then early on in the season, you really started to like him. Yeah, but you even at one point were like, no, it was probably a good call, to be fair.
Yeah, but then he's absolutely dropped half a season of rubbish since
There's
Miami.
Been a few poor races in there. I'm not going to hide it.
I wonder if they had Sainz and Mercedes and Antonelli and Williams, I think Mercedes would be comfortably second in the championship. Yeah, but anyway. And then there's talk. I don't want to say there's nailed on facts, but there are rumblings that the Mercedes drivers themselves really don't get on. And
well, I think, again, it ties back into that fact, isn't it? That they put Antonelli straight into the Merc. George Russell seems like quite a nice person. I mean, I've never met him personally. I can't say too much. He seems like quite a nice person, but he also seems like someone that will quite happily hold a grudge.
Oh, yeah. And he also seems like he's got his way his whole life.
That's every Formula One driver, pretty much,
up
nowadays.
Until the fact he
they're all born
Williams
at the silver spoon now.
And yeah, we've seen that if you get on the wrong side of George Russell, he is a bit prickly.
He's willing to play dirty. He's willing to play dirty if he need, when the chips are down. He's willing to get a little bit catty. I think is the best way.
Catty is a
George
very good
Russell.
Way. But anyway,
George Russell belongs at a girls' secondary school.
He obviously sat 3 years in Williams while Mercedes were winning championships.
Yeah.
And didn't, obviously, it took him, 2.5 years to score a point. So, yeah, he was probably a bit miffed, to say the least, when Antonelli, at 18 years old, after not a very impressive F2 season, got straight into that Mercedes seat, when Russell absolutely dominated F2 and then spent 3 years at Williams. And yeah, there's been a few little things that Antonelli has done that have just riled George Russell up the wrong way, I think, to the point where they don't really do much media together anymore. Obviously, they almost had a coming together at Baku, which Russell was pretty displeased about. Antonelli gave away the strategy at Silverstone on the
that
media.
That was quite funny.
On the track parade. And yeah, I think there's beef. And I do have some. It's not completely unfounded, this, by the way, because there's a Twitter account called Paddock Insider, I think, which is legit. As much as it doesn't sound legit, it is actually pretty legit. That they says, and it didn't put names on it at the time, but two of the teammates in 2025 really have genuine beef to the point where they won't really speak outside of work, and didn't put names on it, but. A different Paddock Insider from, and this is going to sound bad, a friend of a friend.
I know a guy that knows a guy.
Exactly. Confirmed at the British Grand Prix that it was Kimi Antonelli and George Russell, who are this beefing pair of teammates. And then when I was at Monza, as I said last week, they didn't do the fan zone interview together. So every other team does it together. So for instance, Red Bull and Alpine did it as one. Ferrari did it as one, and then Mercedes just had Antonelli on his own and Russell on his own. So make of that what you will. Yeah, what do you think?
It's a horrible thing, isn't it, now, of course, for both of them, where I think Toto obviously tried to play the big game of trying to get Max in, which annoyed George to no end, because A, I would say this was all kind of going on by about Silverstone, wasn't it? Of course, Barcelona was still, I think, in the back of everybody's mind. I think you would argue by Silverstone, end of Silverstone weekend, of course, Max then span again. I think a lot of people would say George at that point had probably been the best performer of everybody over the course of the first half of the season.
George or Oscar at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I think that really upset him originally because, of course, obviously he and Max do not get on. So it was kind of already known
in Abu Dhabi, didn't they?
Yeah, it was all kind of known from then, of course, that if it was going to be Max joining Mercedes, George was probably out the door. And I think we'd said he'd probably just have to go the other way through necessity more than anything else.
Mm.
But of course, then that didn't happen. So it was kind of like, I think George was there going, great, I'm getting a new contract. First of all, though, why were you going to drop me rather than the guy that has barely scored points this year? Not really a fan of that. And obviously, you know, he is the next... I don't know why I'm trying to do a Donald Trump impression. he's the next big thing. He is, you know, we're giving him time, everything like that. And I'm sure then George is going, hang on a minute, I spent 3 years at Williams, which, barring 2020, should have been that he got promoted to Mercedes 2021, because I would still make the argument to this day, had Russell been brought into Merck at 2021, Hamilton would have been world champion that year. They would have been able to play, you know, let's be fair, exactly like Red Bull, both teams did at a certain time, they would have been able to manipulate it better with George in that seventh seat.
The manipulation was done by the FIA that year. So.
No, but in races and things like that, yes. With Checo holding up Lewis, that kind of thing, George would have been able to do a better job than that, because I love Bottas as a guy, but I'm pretty certain my grandmother is better at wheel-to-wheel defending in Formula 1 than Valtteri Bottas was back then. So I'm sure there's kind of been a lot of these things that have built up with George this year. And, I mean, the thing is, what I don't really get is Antonelli, apart from kind of, you know, like we said, obviously accidentally leaking the strategy a couple of times and this, that, and the other. He doesn't really...
I think he's
really...
on crashing in practice sessions.
He does. He does have a tendency
loses
to
the team
in
a lot
sessions.
Of data.
Yeah, apart from Baku as well, he doesn't really seem like the kind of person that would deliberately try and, you know, egg George Russell on or try and goad him into a fight or anything like that. But I just wonder if there's a little bit from George of, you know, I'm meant to be the big deal here, and despite the fact I'm doing better, I'm still not kind of... Because he is clearly number one in that team at the moment. It could even be something as little as, you know, he's not getting some of the engineers that were on Hamilton's car onto his side still. They're still working for Antonelli, that kind of thing.
I'm sure anyone who's ever played a sport or done anything competitive in, like, virtual racing or whatever, when you've been the guy for a bit and then suddenly kind of a new person rocks up to the team, is a lot younger and all the hype is then around him, it just probably riles you up the wrong way. And I think it's that simple, really, because Russell has been the better driver, and to be honest, he's not got loads to worry about and being threatened by Antonelli next year. I think it'll be at least 2 or 3 years before Antonelli is kind of on the level, so it's on paper a bit of a comfortable position. I bet it just sucks that the whole team is hyped about this 18-year-old who's come straight in, when you've been the guy there being patient for the last 6 years in Formula 1.
Yeah.
And no one seems to care.
It's that horrible thing as well, isn't it? Because George Russell as well has been very unlucky in the grand scheme of things. He went through Williams at their absolute lowest and had to put up with some absolute awful cars. Of course, Kubica then scored the 1 point all year, despite the fact you were, on average, about a second quicker in qualifying.
Latifi then beat him in his first points race.
And then, obviously, Latifi crashed on purpose in Abu Dhabi, of course, as well. And then, obviously, you get that one call-up to Merck, and you were going to win.
Zero side pods.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, sorry, you were going to win in 2020 as well. And then you get absolutely shafted. Don't then get the call up for 2021, despite the fact you were clearly quicker than Bottas. Finally get the call up for 2022, and then still have an absolute stinker, because the car's terrible. Obviously, 2023 was a bit of a bad season for George anyway. Lewis did get the better of him comfortably. Of course, then, there was a lot of rumblings last year, wasn't it, as well, that Lewis maybe... You know, understandably wasn't getting fair treatment at Mercedes either. So still people are saying, you know, he's doing a better job than you. And then suddenly you've got this guy that you are clearly doing better than. And yet people are still hyping him up.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're an egoistic Formula One driver, that's
like you have to be
annoying.
In the sport.
There's nothing
you have to be that way to succeed in this sport, I think.
Exactly. Thankfully, there's a lot less ego on this podcast. Only one of us is egotistical, Matt. So,
it says Mr. Yeah. I work in finance.
But we should move on, because speaking of working in finance, I do need to log on very quickly.
You do need to log on quickly. But that's all right then, Jamie. I think we'll wrap it up there then. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. This podcast has actually ended up going on a little bit longer than we expected it to.
Ramble City,
we love it. We absolutely love it. But yeah, if you enjoy these kind of shows, a little bit different kind of recapping just random stuff going on around the Formula One world, please do make sure you hit that sub button, leave a like, get yourself subscribed, follow us on all the various social medias as well. And we might be back early next week. We might do a later show, obviously, previewing, because, of course, next weekend we will return for the Singapore Grand Prix.